Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. You'll have to forgive me if I look like a ghost right now. I just put on a ton of sunscreen because I'm just about ready to go play golf. And I looked at CNBC and I wasn't even going to do a story, but I'm like, oh, the jobs number came out. I got to go over that. So I was actually looking at it this morning, but CNBC had a really cool chart diagram that kind of consolidates all the data. So I wanted to go over that with you guys quickly here. So let's get over to CNBC right now. And the title of this story, here's where the jobs are for July 2022 in one chart. So again, this diagram kind of makes it easy. So we've got leisure, hospitality, 96,000 jobs added. Professional and business services, 89,000. Healthcare, 70,000. Government, 57. So let's just, for a moment, stop right there and then look at retail, trade, transportation, construction. You know, I always say the U.S. economy is pretty much completely about domestic services. And all we're doing is just creating all these services for other Americans that acquire purchasing power by doing services for other people or by their home equity going up. And it doesn't, to the point where that probably doesn't even sound that weird until you start thinking it through. You're like, wait a minute here. How does that work? Let's just say that you were 10 people, or you had 10 people on an island, like Gilligan's Island, as an example. Maybe some of you on the live stream don't remember that show, but I'm sure a lot of you do. And that was one of my favorites. And in Gilligan's Island, let's assume that they just, their only jobs was just to give services to one another. How would they survive? How would they survive if Gilligan just had a laundry business and I can't remember the other people's name. Professor, what was the professor? Just the professor, I think is what they called him. What if his only job was just to teach astronomy, and then the rich guy, what was his name? Thurston Howell III, right? I think that was his name. His only job was just, he set up a nail salon. And then the skipper set up a restaurant, and he employed Ginger and Marianne. Okay, that's pretty good. I haven't watched that show in a good, probably, 25 years? Longer, probably, 30 years. So that's pretty good. Anyway, how would they survive? Just think about that for a moment. Where would the materials for the restaurant come from? Where would the food come from? Where would it be grown? Who would grow it? Where would the oven come from that they would use? The stove? Where would the dryers and the washers for Gilligan's dry cleaning business, I think that's what it was, where would all that stuff come from? You get my point. And if they don't have any of the stuff required, or if they don't produce any of the stuff required for their businesses, then they're completely dependent on someone else in another island that's close to them making the things they need for their service-based business. But what that means is their little economy is completely and entirely dependent. Their livelihoods, their existence is completely dependent upon the people in the other island sending them the things they need for their businesses and the goods they need to consume in the first place. So when you look at a diagram, this is the first place my mind goes. This is what I think about. When you look at what 90% of the jobs here are in leisure, hospitality, business services, healthcare, government, construction, retail, trade, and transporting all of the stuff that's being made on the other island from Gilligan to the skipper, from skipper to Thurston Howell III, from Thurston Howell III to the professor. Let's get back to the numbers. Done with my tangent there. So the U.S. economy added more jobs than expected last month, and there was an appetite for workers, particularly in the service sector, which has been grappling with labor shortages. The leisure hospitality sector. Okay, first thing pertaining to this article specifically. Remember, I don't know if you guys saw the whiteboard video I did, but I used a chart of the average checking account balance, or I think it was the median checking account balance for Americans in aggregate total, broken down by income group, by income quartile, I think it was. And what you saw is the checking account balances are still far higher than they were in 2019. At some point, that's got to come to an end if the government doesn't continue with the stimmy checks, which I think the long end of the yield curve is predicting they will not continue with the stimmy checks, at least for the next year or two. So my point is, yes, there's still a lot of workers that are needed for the leisure, hospitality, restaurants, bars, all of these things. But isn't this completely dependent on those average checking account balances that were completely dependent on the government stimmy checks, the PPP, and the government artificially reducing their expenses through the mortgage forbearance, through the student loan forbearance, or whatever it was called? And the answer is yes. So although there may be significant demand growth right now, it's very similar to the bullwhip effect that I talked about in another video. And this was something that Michael Burry was tweeting about earlier, maybe a month ago or so. And this bullwhip effect is when all of these retailers see this massive demand, and then they order more and more and more inventory, but it gets to a point where the demand deteriorates because that was simply demand from a sugar rush from all of the free money people got from the government. Is there an argument we could be experiencing the exact same phenomenon in the hospitality sector, the leisure sector, the restaurants, the bars, that all of these bar owners are seeing this massive demand to say, oh my gosh, we've got to hire, 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 hire. But that demand is simply a derivative of the free money that soon will be spent. Moving on, the leisure and hospitality sector grew the most, like we said. Restaurants, airlines have been scrambling to repopulate their ranks since the economy started to reopen. I like how they always say this, the Cerveza Signus triggered. The government triggered. Let's put the blame on the responsible shoulders here. The government lockdowns in 2020s that led to massive layoffs and furloughs for cooks and waitstaff. And oh, by the way, let's not forget about the medicine mandates. Remember those? I think that's something the government and the mainstream media wants to kind of sweep under the rug, and they just want us to forget about that. We will not forget about that. And my point is the government created these economic distortions, and now we're having to pay the price. And I remember when I was talking about this back in 2020, I was saying, hey, we need to do a cost-benefit analysis. We need to do a cost-benefit analysis because you can't just shut down the entire economy and assume that in a year, everything's going to just go back to normal. It's not the way it works. And everyone, of course, in the mainstream media on Twitter and YouTube, you know, banning my channel there momentarily, they are saying, oh, well, we can't do a cost benefit. We have to save lives. 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 Okay, great. Well, look at what a country did like Sweden that took a much more of a laissez-faire approach. Look at what their statistics were as far as health. And then let's now think through the economic impacts of what the government did back in 2020 and even into 2021. You're seeing massive inflation. You're seeing a reduction in purchasing power. Look at the yield curve, for heaven's sakes. Look at what that's telling you. This is a result of what the government did. If the government wouldn't have done anything, if they would have had a laissez-faire approach, do you think CPI would be at 9.1% right now? Do you think all these, the bullwhip effect, we would have that in retail, which is going to misallocate resources, which is going to create all this malinvestment. Same thing here that we could be seeing in restaurants and bars. None of that would have happened without the economic distortions created by the government in 2020 and 2021. Professional services goes higher. Here's another chart. It's not just a strong total number that highlights the health of the job market. Growth was across the board and not limited to one or two sectors. Right, but again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but although it was diversified across the sectors, the sectors themselves aren't diversified. It's like the Dragon portfolio, and it's like Chris Cole. When you think about it, everything is short vol. Everything in your portfolio, unless you have long vol, is short vol. So if you've got stocks, that's short vol. If you've got housing, real estate, short vol. So you may think you're diversified, but really when you look at it through the lens of volatility, you're not really diversified at all. In fact, you got all your eggs in one basket. And it's the same thing here. We may look across the job market and say, oh my gosh, yes, robust job growth. It's incredibly diversified. But is it really diversified when all of our eggs are in the domestic services basket that is really propped up by government deficit spending? They say the unemployment rate dipped back down to 3.5%. And one thing I saw, I think Peter Schiff say, well, someone on Twitter, the unemployment rate went down because the labor force participation actually went down. So if jobs go up, labor force participation goes down. Peter made the point, great point, that means people are getting more jobs. Or I think Peter Buchvar made another great point that I saw Danielle DiMartino Booth tweet, and I retweeted it, where he said that if you have jobs increasing and if you have GDP contracting, because let's not forget, GDP is going down in real terms. He says then productivity has got to be falling off a cliff. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. And that would explain why we're seeing unemployment rates very low, or maybe quote unquote strong job numbers, while at the same time the economy is quite literally contracting. And for all the people that are out there in the mainstream media, like this next gentleman, stating that this means the economy is incredibly strong. I saw someone on Twitter saying the U.S. economy is ripping right now. It's ripping. How do you reconcile those two ideas, that the economy is literally contracting? How can it be ripping? How can it be booming? And this person, I've got it highlighted. The economy is clearly firing on all cylinders. What? How? This person's name is Peter Essel, head of portfolio management, Commonwealth Financial Network. The economy is so strong that it's contracting. I think people like this Peter gentleman and others on Twitter and the mainstream media, they need to address two consecutive quarters of negative real GDP. And they need to articulate a very well thought out argument as to how you can have the economy contracting while at the same time you are asserting that the economy is quote unquote firing on all cylinders. Those two ideas don't jive. How do you square that circle, right? So this is, it's definitely fascinating, because you would expect with two negative quarters of GDP and with the yield curve doing what it's doing, at some point in time, the jobs numbers would start to disappoint. The fact they aren't as of yet is something I'll be definitely thinking about this weekend, because when you see something that's conflicts with your base case, I think it's mandatory. You step back and say, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the yield curve doesn't know what it's talking about. Maybe the bond market for once in 70 years is wrong. Maybe the economy is running on all eight cylinders because of the jobs data. I'm not saying it is, but we have to ask ourselves these questions and try to poke holes in our own base case. At least I do, because in doing so, that's how I know I'm being intellectually honest. And at the end of the day, that I think that's what we should really strive for. So I'm going to have to reconcile all of this over the weekend. And it's definitely something I'm looking forward to. And I'll let you guys know my conclusions on Monday. All right. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, guys. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.